Welcome to the daily VFN radio highlights at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. And so I just want to encourage you. I mean, if you haven't yet, our audience, if you haven't heard about the virtual stadium, you'll hear it sometime today. You know, we're excited to have you sit down in the seat in this virtual stadium to be encouraged. You know, realize that you can sit any time of the day, you know, whether you're in your car or whether you're at home or in your office, and just let encouragement come over you. Let the light of God's reality and truth come over you. Understand that you can look the truth square in the face, reality square in the face, if you understand God's perspective of it. Because the enemy likes to do things to cause people to be fearful. Mm-hmm. And so people just kind of bury their head in the sand of the denial. It don't exist. It don't exist. It don't exist. That looks kind of funny after a while when you're thinking, you know, that, I'm not going to talk about being a Lions fan. You know, at some point, you know, you just got to face it. You know, people get tired of denial after a while because they're having to live it. You know, you keep denying our reality. We want you to talk about our reality. But when you know God's truth about it and God's perspective and that God is the creator of all things, he holds all things together, and he protects those who stay in him, who put their trust in him, then you can look at the truth. You know, and if we've failed, which we have, you know, if we've come short, well, John, and, yeah. We can make things right. You know, we can make things right at the cross. That's what's so awesome about Jesus. Mm-hmm. You know, people wanted to deny Jesus because that's the only place that you can make things right. Mm-hmm. It's at the feet of Jesus, at the cross of Christ. But you can make things right. You know, righteousness means this, right standing with God. Somebody says, well, you can't be righteous. Well, there's no one righteous. You know, no man that's righteous. The only one righteous is God, you know, and Jesus. Mm-hmm. And so, but understand this, because of what Jesus did, if we acknowledge our failures and our awesome need for a Savior and accept what he did on the cross, at that point, we're in right standing with God, which means even though we don't feel righteous, you know, even though, you know, we are a Saints fan, don't feel that way. We know by faith that we are. Mm-hmm. So when you see that a righteous man, when God says that a righteous man, a fool who denies God is blown away by the storm, but a righteous man is not uprooted, you can say, don't be defeated by the mentality of who you were before you knew Christ. Understand now that you know him, you're in right standing with God. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're not some righteous, you know, religious zealot. You're right before God because of Jesus and your reliance and your dependency on him, which means your roots go deep and the storm cannot remove you according to your faith in this reality that I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. So we got to get back to understanding that we've been made right in God. We're in right standing before God. He says, and because Jesus has done all this, that we can approach the throne of the creator of the universe, who sits on a throne in the center of the universe, surrounded by an emerald rainbow with lightning and thunder that's booming from his throne room, with angels surrounding him, calling out, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Worthy is your name. And think about that. All this is happening, and we can walk in the midst of all of that boldly and go, Dad, or Abba, that's Hebrew, right?
Yeah.
Or Greek, Hebrew?
It's Hebrew.
Abba? That means Daddy? Mm-hmm. And the angels go, shh. One of his sons are here. One of his daughters are here. Shh. I mean, the angels stand in awe of what Jesus did for us. And he says in Song of Solomon, we caught his eye. We caught his eye. And he has, you know what I'm saying? He's like, you know, we just caught his eye. Believe it or not, right?
Yeah.
You know, for example, when I saw you smoking your Bible, Chris, you know, I just kind of glanced over there and I called your eye. It's this future story we got to tell you. You know, the word was in Chris before it was in Chris.
Oh, it was in him, all right.
It was in. We got, you know, the future story. But listen, this is how awesome you are, that the creator of the universe was glancing, looking around, and all of a sudden he saw you out of the corner of his eye. And he goes, I am in love with you. I'm in love with you. I mean, think about that. It's like, why do you think the adversary is doing everything he can to do to change this perception and destroy what a father looks like and destroy the name, trying to destroy the name, perception of the name of Jesus, and to change who God is and change who the true prophet of God, all this different stuff. Because he's jealous of that God, the creator of the universe, you call his eye and he goes, wow, I'm in love with you. I want, but then there was an issue. It was a sin issue. It was the fact that how can I get close to the one that I love because I'm in love with you? And how do I do that without killing you? Because my very presence, sin can't exist in my presence, but you got the sin in your life from the fall of the man since the garden. I want to be close to you. And so what can I do? You know, I love you so much. I love you so much. You caught my eye so much. My heart so burns for you that I'm going to give my son for you. I'm going to give my son for you. I'm going to have my son. He's going to come from the splendors right now where he is with me now. And he's going to be birthed like a man like you are. Because he's God, but now he's going to become a man and all God. And I'm going to hover over this virgin named Mary, over her womb with my spirit. And the seed of God will go into the womb of woman. And in that, I will conceive my son. So he will forever be a man. And he'll forever be God. He gave up the splendors of heaven and this perfectness of godness to be able to come down to be all man and all God. And he, Jesus, is and was so in love with the Father and so in love with you that he wants us to be his bride. Mm. I mean, this is a love story. This is a love story. And so Jesus was so in love with you and so in love with the Father that he walked on the face of this earth just like you walk and just like I walk. And he was tempted in every way. So don't think the way you're being tempted that God can't relate to it. That's just other people can't relate to it. God's been tempted. Jesus was tempted in every way. But yet he didn't fall to it like we fall into it and fall into it and that type of thing. And so he walked sinless. He didn't make any mistakes. He didn't do nothing or say nothing unless the Father wanted him to say or do it. Why? Because you caught his eye. Mm-hmm. You caught his eye, and he was working out a plan to bring you into his presence forever. I mean, he wants to live with you forever. And he had to work out a way to do that, and he did it through his son, and his son did it through the Father, and they did it because of you, and he walked a sinless life. But all of a sudden, out the middle of nowhere, about around the age of 33 years of age, after he's walked in his ministry and made the Father known, is what he was doing. That's why we always talk about meet my Father. It's about making the Father known. That's our ministry. We want to make the one whose eye you caught known to you.
Mm-hmm.
And so he said, this is what I'm going to do. My perfect son, who's made no mistakes, not one, but can relate to your issues because he's been tempted in every way, just like you. And he can explain to me, by the way, he can explain to me in the future and all the time about what's going on, because God doesn't, you know, he understands the answer. But he does, the question is like, it just doesn't even compute with him. You know, why would sin be? And so all of a sudden, the Father God, whose eye you called, he took all the sin, all the mistakes, all the failures, all the downfallings, everything that's ever gone wrong, did go wrong, has gone wrong, or ever will go wrong. All the sins, all your failures, all of our mistakes, and he took it all at one time and he just dumped it on his son, because that was the only way the one who caught his eye that he can have a relationship with. That was the only way. That's why religion is trying to take this away from you. That's why men are saying, hey, you need to be a go-between. I'm a go-between between you and God. That's why they're telling you you don't need to abide with him. Listen, he loves you and he wants to abide with you. Quit eating another man's groceries and realize God wants to feed you. Taste and see the Lord is good. He wants to commune with you. And so he dumped all of our sin on Jesus. Jesus willingly took the sin and he nailed him to the cross. Why? Because sin has to be paid for. God is a just God and he's the one that justifies. He had to deal with sin and he dealt with sin once and for all by allowing his son to be the sin sacrifice for us. He paid the price. The one whose eye you caught, he was so in love with you and is so in love with you that he dumped all of our wrongs that ever was on his son. And then he struck his son. He literally struck his son who he loves so he didn't have to strike you. Mm-hmm. And then he died. And then Jesus is so awesome. I mean, he's on the cross. You know, all his sin is upon him. And his father has turned his face away from him because the one who called our eye couldn't turn his eye to his son because now his son had sin on him. Mm-hmm. And he turns his face, that had never happened to his son. And he says, Father, Father, why have you forsaken me? And this is the reason why, because we've caught his eye. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, before he passes on the cross, Jesus says this, and oh my goodness, we need God's grace for this. He said, Father, hold not this sin against them, for they know not what they're doing. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're nailing him to a cross. They're calling God Satan. Everything good, they're calling bad. And he's done nothing wrong. Huge injustices. But he entrusted himself who judges justly, the one whose eye we call.
Mm-hmm.
And then he dies. His body, spirit leaves his body. They put him in a tomb, and it looks like it's over. Everybody's terrified. Everybody that was following him was terrified. Oh, my goodness, they killed our leader. They killed Jesus. What happened to his kingdom? Where do we go? And one guy ran so fast. He was so terrified when he saw what happened. He ran so fast, he literally ran out of his clothes.
Yeah.
And he ran so fast, his clothes stayed there, and he ran. And everybody's in hiding. What do we do? Oh, my goodness, what do we do? And it looks like it's over. And let me tell you something. It is not over. It is not over. It is not over because on the third day,
mm-hmm.
when it looked like it was totally over, and they were going to go dress his body in the tomb, they go and they find out, it's like, he ain't here. Where is he at? He's gone.
Right.
The Lord's gone. He's gone. Think about it. Oh, my goodness. Somebody stole his body. And so they come running out. And they say, you know, who took him? Who took him? And they didn't realize they were talking to him who they thought he took. It's like, this is him. They go, oh, my goodness. This is Jesus. You were just dead. And he goes, but you're alive. And so they hug him. And he goes, don't touch me yet because I have not yet. Went to the Father and put my blood on the mercy seat in heaven, which you've only seen a shadow of, but there is a once and for all up there waiting for me to come. And so then he says, go tell the disciples and Peter, go tell the disciples and America that I'm coming. I'm here. I'm alive. And they go tell them, and they say, this ain't true. That couldn't be. I saw him dead. There's no way that he can be. I'm going to go see for myself. So Peter, and they just ran as fast as they could. It was John and Peter. Ran as fast as they could, go into the tomb to see what's going on. Peter beats them first, and they get there, and there's an angel there. An angel is right there in there saying, listen, why are you looking for the living amongst the dead? The one that was dead is now alive. Jesus, see, the difference in our God and all these false gods is their God is dead, and our God is alive. And you caught his eye. Mm-hmm. He's in love with you. That's why the enemy tells you all these lies. That's why he has your self-worth beat down. And he tells you you're good for nothing. And he causes you to fall in sin. He's the one that tricked you. He's the one that deceived you. He's the one that put you on the ground. He's the one that kicked you in the ribs. And then he looks at you and goes, look at you. Look what you've done. And it was all his lies. Right. And all of that. While you're dripping with the sin of all the things that you've done in your life, like the woman caught in adultery, he looks at us and says, where are your accusers? Because she caught his eye. Listen, it's time for us as God's people to reboot. We got to rethink this thing. Listen, if he's madly in love with you, and he is, and if you caught his eye and you have, and if you've been downloaded by all these lies of the adversary and you feel like you have no worth, realize that he is a liar and he's the father of lies. When he lies, he speaks his native language. Understand, you got to find out what the truth is. That's why you abide. You get in his word, because the word, the Bible tells you the truth, not some man's interpretation of the Bible, not some other mysterious angel that appears to somebody in the in upstate New York, or somebody in, you know, the Eastern cultures, or somebody down in India. The Bible. And find out. You go, oh my goodness, the enemy was telling me a lie, but now I've read the truth. And so the light of God's word shines and exposes the lie. And then we can say, you know, I couldn't adjust my belief based on that. I caught his eye. I caught the eye of the creator of the universe. And that's what really blows people away. They say, well, how can that person end up in heaven? They had such a rough life. You just don't understand. They had a rough life because they believed the lie, but all along they caught his eye.
Right.
He doesn't hate you. He loves you. He's not wanting to destroy you. He's wanting to give you eternal life. His plans for you for are good. Yes, you're going to have to believe that. The most important thing about you is what you think about God. But when you receive, that's what called by, it's called faith. I receive, Lord, you are, oh my goodness. The only way I can be in relationship with the one whose eye I caught is through your son, Jesus Christ. That's why they try to do away with Jesus, because he's the gateway. Every other way is a thief and a liar. This is a good thing. So I just want to encourage you this morning. I just want to encourage you that the creator of the universe, the one who sits encircled by an emerald rainbow, who has lightning and thunder just booming and firing off from his throne with angels all around them crying, holy, 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 with his torches, his huge fiery torches, his burning roar. This huge fire, this is burning, this witness, and these angels that have eyes on their wings and all over their body, and they're just flying and hovering, and some of them are covering their eyes, and some of the wings are covering their body, and they're just glancing at him. When they glance at the one who's in love with you, they go, oh, holy, holy are you. Oh, my goodness, and they cover their eyes again. Well, think about that. They can't even glance hardly at the one who glanced at you and fell in love with you. This is a love affair. This is a love affair. He is so in love with you that he will shake this earth to its core to get your attention. He will shake your relationships. He'll shake your money. He'll shake your politics. He'll shake your government. He'll shake you down to a holding cell just so you finally look up and go, is that you looking at me? Do you really want me? And that's where the song came from. Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. Because he got the revelation that saved a wretch like me. If you want to meet him, he loves you. But you got to make a choice. You got to find. You got to get in touch with him. You can do this right now by calling out to him. Describe, Jesus, I want to know you. Go to meetmyfather.org. Go to meetmyfather.org. We shared a couple of our stories because we wanted to make the Father known to you, to kind of find out, you know, we're all the same. But listen, despite what people may think of us, we caught his eye. We'll be right back. You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program. Don't forget to share them with your friends. Find more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with the mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.